الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, amongst the various challenges that face the Muslim community, on an individual, on a family, and on a collective level, is the challenge of the upbringing of our children. And of course, when we talk about children, I'm not only today, for the purpose of today's talk, talking about our siblings or talking about our younger children, but talking about our youth, talking about those who are in their late teens. And that is a challenge that each and every one of us in some way or the other we are facing. Ask any parent, that that is amongst the major challenges. How do we relate the concern with regard to the various type of fitna, challenges, evils, temptation which the youth are facing today? And I think in many ways this problem, or this challenge rather than calling it a problem, is a very genuine one. Now I would just like to, in today's brief talk, look at one aspect of the challenge, and then after looking at that one aspect of the challenge, address concerns to the youth, parents, and the society at large. And that is, we are living in a world today where we know that the dominant ideology or the dominant type of message and values is many a times directly opposed to Islamic values. And that particular type of values is such in dominance that it calls out towards our youth, calls out towards us who are even middle-aged, and sometimes even to the elderly. It calls out, it's inviting, and that particular invitation becomes sometimes quite tempting. And it is also based on a particular mindset. What is that mindset that seems to have emerged recently? Or at least not recently, some time back. What is this mindset? The mindset is this, that person in the late teens is not a small child, so he is not bestowed with the privileges of childhood, he is not regarded to be a child, but somehow or the other he is still not yet an adult. So he is not a child. In the time of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, normally what we have was, someone was either a child, and as a child he was bestowed with the privileges of childhood. So the ahkam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of our sharia, were not compulsory upon him. He was looked upon as a child. And of course we know with children, there's a certain leeway, there's a certain flexibility. We are not saying that you should not prepare them for the task of adhering to the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the later days, or in a later age. But of course it is not compulsory upon them. We have that degree of flexibility, or at least we should have that degree of flexibility with them. But so they are not child, they are not children, but yet somehow or the other we don't regard them as adults. So what are they then? They are not children, they are not adults, then what are they? So somehow it gives an impression that that age between childhood and adulthood is a temporary phase in between these two ages and phases where we are supposed to enjoy ourselves. We are supposed to just make merry of life. You know, it's a temporary phase. Yes, we know what you are telling us about our deen. We know what you are telling us about our sharia. We know that, you know, all these things are important, but we'll deal with it when we get married, when we get children, then we will think about it. Now let us enjoy ourselves. Now can we imagine that mindset? When you have that mindset, what is the child and the youth going to do? he is going to look at his life from a completely different perspective. He is going to look at the life in this way, I must just enjoy myself. So what has become the focus of many youth in that age group, what is the focus? The focus is enjoyment. The focus is entertainment. The focus is my life revolves around the cellular phone, the people of the opposite gender, then the cars, and those type of situations. But this type of mindset, which seems to pervade the mindset of many of even our youth, then has a consequences. What is the consequences? The consequences is this, that what is the end point of enjoyment? What is the end point of your enjoyment? Where are you going to stop? So what happens is you start off by a phone call to a member of the opposite sex, and then what? If your whole mindset is enjoyment, do you stop at that? Do you say that that is the end result, I'm only going to stop at that? Or do you go more than that, flirting? And then if your mindset is enjoyment, do you stop at that? Or do you say, no, I got to now go the full way, adultery and fornication, because that is a mindset, I'm supposed to enjoy myself. So what is the end result of enjoyment? In fact, there is no end result of enjoyment. And that is why we find in the Western world where this mindset pervades, that there is, even after adultery, fornication, immorality, they are still searching for more perverse ways to fulfill their desire, because the whole objective is enjoyment and there is no end point of enjoyment. Now this is the mindset that has come upon many of our youth, and it is something that can never be satisfied. And when you don't satisfy it, you know, it is a fine line of, you know, enjoying yourself within the confines of the Sharia, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows, but it doesn't become your objective. It is just merely a relaxation. It is just merely a diversion to make you think of more important things in life thereafter, after the diversion. But when that becomes the whole objective of your life, then what? And I think that is one of the major challenges which are facing the community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses it in an amazing way in the 18th surah of the Holy Quran. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثْ وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. In Allah ta'ala complains. Allah ta'ala says, human being, do you really think that I have created you for nothing? They really create you only for the sake of enjoying this type of temporary pleasures of life. And you won't return back to me. And if you return, you think Allah is going to ask us what car you drove. Allah is going to ask us what cellular phone you used. Surely Allah is going to ask us much more important things in life. How did you apply my commands in your day-to-day life? Now that is one of, once you have this mindset, then of course it creates a lot of problems. Now after understanding this mindset, we can understand that despite the fact that we normally make mention that throughout the world people are following and flocking into Islam in large numbers, and alhamdulillah we are thankful to Almighty Allah, because there is that attraction in Islam where people will flock towards Islam, but at the same time, due to this mindset, due to the temptation, our children, our youth are also succumbing to this temptation at an alarming rate. And what is happening by succumbing to this temptation? We find that some people will openly renounce Islam, some of the youngsters. Some will develop doubts and misgivings about their religion. Some will make compromises with regard to right and wrong. Some will have these type of compromises without making mention of it to their parents. They will keep it within themselves. Sometimes it will even explode into open rebellion and arguments and counter-arguments with their parents. Now, after understanding just one aspect of the problem, one of the challenges which is based on a particular mindset, let us address the three segments which I have made mention, the youth. The youth need to understand one aspect, and that is that this phase of life which we think that is always going to be there forever, it is in reality a deceitful period. It's a temporary phase. It is not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. It's going to come to an end. Now let me give you an example. Maybe some of the youth who might be here who will relate to it. You have one of the more, you know, later and the newer versions of the more popular car that is out there in the market. I don't know what it is with regard to the youth. Maybe they'll be able to tell me in a better way. But let us say what I hear and what I, when we speak to the youngsters, they say is a Golf GTI. Now, you have a 2005 Golf GTI. You become the focus of your friends. You become the envy of your peers. And may I dare say it, you become popular among the opposite sex. Because you've got this Golf GTI 2005 which you are running around with. But just consider these two things. One is, while it is very popular today, while it is very trendy today, take that very same car, 2005 Golf GTI, in the year 2015. Now all of a sudden the thing is no more so trendy. In 2015, what would be the position of driving with that particular Golf GTI, 2005 model? Your same friends who would have envied you, you would become the focus of attention, they will start laughing at you. You're driving a jalopy, driving such an old car, but your father doesn't have enough money to buy you another car. Right? And the fathers will feel embarrassed with regard to that. So they would try and, you know, whatever they'll do, they will try and pacify the youngsters. But that's the situation. Young people have to realize that yet we have the energy today, but tomorrow we're not going to have the energy. And we have to look forward. How are we going to deal with that particular period? Yes, we have all the energy, but one day that energy is no more going to be there. So that is one aspect. Let me just take this example a little further. Now you have this beautiful Golf GTI, and you are sort of talking with your friends, and you have this whole situation, and you know, this car can go from 0 to 100 in 5.5 seconds. Wonderful. You know, the children will start, and the young people will start debating, my car, it will do it in 4.8 seconds. But just now realize that very same car, which can go from 0 to 100 in such a short space of time, the brakes fail. Now, does it matter now 0 to 100? Or does it now matter 100 to 0? Now it's no more 0 to 100. Now you have to see how quickly that particular car can come, not from 0 to 100, but from 100 to 0. Because it's got no brakes. Right. Now this is the same thing with regard to our youth. You have that energy, but if you don't have brakes, that very same energy which you take pride in can become the means of your destruction. And what is the brakes for our young people? The brakes is the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have that very same energy that you are extending and taking pride in with regard to the enjoyments of the world, all of a sudden it becomes the means of your destruction. Now after understanding that with regard to the youth, let's go to the next phase with regard to the parents. Parents face a very difficult task. How do we relate to those young people? It's a very important situation and a very great challenge. One of the challenges that faces the parents, how do we relate? Now it's a very common type of myth, you know, that too much discipline will cause rebellion among the children, will cause rebellion among the youth. Yes, it will cause, perhaps to an extent. But what we don't fail to understand, or what we don't understand is this, or we fail to understand is that just as too much discipline will cause rebellion, perhaps, too little discipline is similarly greatly detrimental to the upbringing of our children, onto our youth. I mean, if they don't have clear-cut guidelines from the house, that what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, and at least in this we need to be speaking to our youth, it is going to be a major cause of problem with regard to the upbringing of the youth. So to find the right balance between over and too little discipline. And it's a common thing. Many a time you hear people saying, yeah, but we can't be too strict to them because they're going to become stubborn. Okay, we understand that particular argument, and for a moment let us accept that. But what about too little discipline? Is that not going to cause harm to the child? Is that not going to cause harm to the children? And perhaps, you know, someone has given this beautiful example that we need to be relating to our children like a wet bar of soap. You say, what has a wet bar of soap got to do with children? But of course, there is this aspect that a wet bar of soap, if you catch it too loosely, it falls out of your hand. And if you catch it too tightly, it still falls out of your hand. Maybe finding the right balance. But this is one aspect with regard to the parents. I mean, as I said, that this is such a topic we can talk long. I'm just giving one or two aspects for us to think about. In the Quran, there is an amazing ayat with regard to the responsibility of the head of the household. And Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. I don't think sometimes this the implication of this ayat really strikes us as parents or as fathers or as husbands. Let me give you an example to explain the meaning of this ayat. You are coming home one day. As you are driving to your house, you find that the road where your house is blockaded. There are fire brigades everywhere, there are police everywhere. Right? You find the situation. You start dreading, I hope it's not my house. But as you come nearer, you actually see that no, perhaps it is my house. The focus of attention is that particular house where I'm living in. The first thought of yours, what has happened to my wife, my children? There's a first thought that comes to your mind. And you rush, and you come in, you see, yes, it is your house. Your house is on flames. It is blazing. You go through the cordon. The police try to stop you. You say, no, it's my house. I'm going there. You go there, you see your wife and two children on one side. Alhamdulillah, you say they are safe. Then the thought comes, my third child, where's my third child? And you see your third child waving to you from one of the windows of the house. Now you tell me, what will your reaction be at that time? Will Allah Ta'ala forbid it may ever happen to anyone? What will be our reaction? Will we say philosophically, the way sometimes we deal with the upbringing of our children, will we say philosophically, go to the child and say, listen my child, you are going to die one day, you rather die now. I still got to look after your mother, is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to leave everything aside and go to the aid of your child? Understand that? Now understand the ayat. O believers, save your children from the fire of Jahannam. Our emotions at that time is far less than our emotions to save our children from the fire of Jahannam. Now understand this in the manner of the example I've given you. So this is a challenge for for each and everyone. Yes, there are problems. We've got to find a way out of those problems to save our youth from the fire of Jahannam. How you do it? Find a way. Be as emotional and as radical and as the feeling as you have with regard to the example I've given you. Now with regard to the society. Society also has a very great role to play with regard to the upbringing of our youth. Our youth are very, very important. Too important to leave their development just haphazardly. And perhaps the society has an added role to play in the sense that, you know, many of the things that the youth are picking up is in reality the values that the society have brought into them. Why is there so much emphasis upon the materialism? Because society has given it so much emphasis. Why is there so much worried about all the greatest gadgets and technical items? Because we have given that particular thing prominence. So society has a very great role to play. And when we look at our Islamic history, I'm just going to run through one or two aspects. Can you imagine our history in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One of the first persons to accept Islam was a child at the age of 10, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Usama bin Zayd was made in charge of an army which included Abu Bakr and Umar when he was 17 years of age. After conquering Makkah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves behind a governor who was 21 years of age. Muhammad bin Qasim rahmatullah alayhi conquers Sindh for the Muslims when he was 17 years of age. There are two teen boys who kill the arch enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl. Now I can go on. Do these things matter as priorities in the life of our youth? Do these things really matter in the priorities of our youth? Or are there other priorities? And I think the society has a very great role to play in this. Now, of course, we can go on making mention of the challenges, and we can go on making mention with regard to the difficulties and problems. But let us look at some of the solutions. You see, someone has very beautifully said, a million gripe against darkness won't make one iota of difference to darkness. You're sitting in a masjid and the lights go off, and everyone complains, nothing will happen. The lights will still remain, there will still be darkness. One person lights up a candle, he has done something constructive to remove the darkness. So million gripes against darkness won't make one iota of difference to darkness. Light up one candle, you have made one significant contribution for the removal of darkness. Now start lighting up the candles as a society. Let me say one or two things with regard to the solution. Perhaps one of the things that we should really consider, and that we should consider it from the family point of view and the society point of view. Let us look at responsible people in every family, or perhaps in a broader society, the imam of the masjid with regard to the young people who are in his area as an elderly responsible person mentoring one youth, one young person. Take him into your conference, shower him tremendous love and affection, more love and affection than he will get from any of the other type of priorities. And each and every one person, take one young under his control. Understand his problems, give him love, give him affection, understand the type of difficulties and emotion that he's going through, and mentor him through the difficult phase, which definitely it is, into adulthood. Let us consider this. Each and every person who has that ability to communicate, let us consider this. It is perhaps one way of putting a candle to rid the world of the darkness, or to rid the darkness that we are talking about. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.